Your recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thank you very much, Angelica. Over to you, Tiffany.
Thank you, Mariam. So the purpose of this call is to give us a chance to interrogate, let's say, our candidates for the chair and councillor positions. Starting with the councillors, there have been some questions on the list already, but they've also answered on the list, so I won't repeat them, but we'll give you a chance to comment if you like. But first, I'll want to ask both the chair candidates. I'll ask the first question simply, why do you want the job? And let's go with Dave first.
Sure. Okay. I want the job because I really see, I think we're at a really important point for NSG, where there are some really significant internal issues that I think have been sort of rolling along for a while and have a really good chance to resolve. And I think I have an appropriate mix of skills where I think this would be a really useful way for me to contribute. We have we have a point where I think we are finally really able to resolve some of the tensions between NPOC and NCUC very effectively, and I think I have good relationships with both, and I think that we will spend the next year or two really filling out the new powers of the empowered community and how NCSG fits into that. And I think I have really, broad contacts among all the other groups who I'll have to work with. And I think I have a very good understanding of all the different moving parts that make up the very complicated thing that is ICANN, and that this is a position where that knowledge will be really, really useful. I also think it's a time when we really need to work together because there's an enormous amount of solid policy work to be done and so on. I just think I have the right mix of things for the time at the moment, and it would be a useful way for me to contribute. There you go. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Dave. Arzane, why do you want the job?
Thank you, Tiffany. I want the job because I'm committed to doing it, and I'm willing to invest time and energy, and I would like to build on what the previous chairs of NCSG have done. They worked on internal governance mechanisms. They have built the various committees of NCSG. I want to make them stronger and work on internal governance, such as like procedural rules. I have, proven that I'm capable of accomplishing these things with the help of the executive committee at the NCUC. And I'm here with energy and commitment to make and improve NCSG work. And I think, as David said, we are at a very important time at ICANN. There are various very important policy issues that are being discussed, and next year, especially with regards to privacy, things that non-commercial users and concerns should be addressed. And I think we need a strong NCSG effort to address policy issues at ICANN. And I would, as I said in my email, I would like to work with the both of the constituencies and NCSG members to do outreach, to do inreach, to strengthen our policy, our engagement with policy at ICANN. So these are my reasons. And since I've been for the past year, since December of 2016, I have been the chair of NCUC, and I have tried to show that when I say that we will get something done, we will get something done. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Verena. And this point to everybody in the audience, if you have any questions, you can either type them in the chat or raise your hand in the Adobe so you can say them yourselves. We have not had too many questions from by email. There is one person sent a couple of questions where you can see in the screen. The first is addressed a bit directed to referring to Frazine, but I guess I'll have to ask then Dave to compare his plans to what Frazine has been doing, and maybe Frazine can explain what difference she sees in this working with newcomers plan. So, Dave, can you comment on how you would work with the newcomers?
I think it's a funny question and a kind of a biased one, but no, I think I mean it is actually one of the things where I think in many ways Fazaneh and I both agree that mentoring and coaching is very important. I know I've been mentoring and coaching some people this year. I do think that we one of the things we really need to do is actually bridge the gap between newcomers and, you know, people who are sort of confident policy participants. I think this year there has been a lot of work on outreach and bringing new people in. We really do need to have a strategy as a group to help people get over that that difficult intermediate session. Individual coaching is, as I said, something I have been doing this year to a few of our newer people, but we need to have, I think, an organized strategy to really do it and to take our stars and not load them down with, both take our real star participants as PDP participants. I mean, Stephanie, for example, is doing so much work on various privacy-related things. We need to work out ways that we both support and don't burn out our experienced experts, but also bring new people into that process where they can have opportunities to really successfully engage with the policy process. I think that will require a lot of input and experiment from everybody, but I think this year has been a really good one in terms of starting that process. And then so I have been very actively involved where I can. I helped run the session at IFF and, you know, it was part of the outreach session and so on, but we really need to not just bring new people in, but really help work them through to be effective policy participants. And I think rather than we need to go a little bit beyond sort of mentoring and coaching individually and make some sort of organized resources where we share important knowledge about some of these really difficult, complex policy issues, and privacy in particular is a current one, in such a way that we can all work together and not simply create extra work for our most, for the people that are already doing huge amounts of work on policy issues. So it's a complicated issue and one that I really think has to be a priority, not just with the, not just something that can we can purely lead as chair, but the, our experienced policy participants, we really need to help bring them in and not just expect them to do more, but also work out ways where it works for them and helps take the strain off some of our people I think are in real serious danger of burnout. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Farzaneh, you want to comment on how you've been doing this newcomer mentoring and how would you do that when shifting from NCUC to NCSG maybe?
Yes, thank you, Papani. Both of the constituency have something going on as an onboarding program, which is being developed by the constituency members, some of the constituency members. And what I'm planning to do if I get elected for NCSG, I'm going to take both of these onboarding programs that are developed by these constituencies and compile it and make a united onboarding program for NCSG members and constituencies. In this onboarding program, the new members will be given additional information about what we exactly do, what our values are, what we aim to do, what we are going to do this year, who they can work with. Also, I came up with the idea of focal points for NCUC for policymaking, that these focal points, like, for example, Stephanie is the focal point for privacy, Kathy is the focal point for trademark overreach issues in domain names that I can. So these focal points can be contacted by the new members for questions, how to get involved. But that is not enough because our focal points are also burdened with a lot of work. So in addition to that, we can have a body system, which Mariam and I are working on it at NCUC, which I think NCSU will benefit from it as well, which we are going to ask various members who are a little bit more experienced to kind of tell the newcomers for like a period of time, for 3 months or 6 months, what to do, how to do it, where exactly their interests and skills can be useful at NCSG and ICANN. So these are my plans, but of course I have always showed interest in newcomers and I'm always willing to help them, so I will be the main focal point for the newcomers. And I see that Matt has also asked how we are going to increase participation in PDP. As I said in my email as well, I think we have a little bit of a problem at NCSG with the flow of information. There's too much information. People get lost. They lose interest. And those issues that we really have to work on get lost by overburdening them with information, or the issues that they are interested in, it's not easy to go and find these issues and see where these issues are being played at ICANN. So what I think we should do is to be more issue specific, provide more information, and work on our communication means and incentivize members to participate. And as I said, we can give them a Batman cave or ask them to be Wonder Woman to be able and show that you can actually make changes at ICANN policy by showing them how we made changes in ICANN and ICANN policies, and by being an example for them And then when they participate, they see that they are making changes. There is a goal that they can achieve, and hopefully they will continue being involved then.
Thank you, Vrazina. I see that, as Matt commented on the list or the chat already, that you both kind of answered his question on the number of how to increase the number of persons contributing to PDB speeches, etc. But we may get back to that later if you have something to add. But let's move on with the list. We have some questions here. How are you planning to work with us to improve nonprofit organizations' participation and engagement? And maybe Farzi would like to start with this one.
So I'd like to see what sort of issues I would like to see how we can address the issues of not-profit organizations at ICANN, what sort of issues they have and what sort of operational concerns they have, and what issues are being discussed at ICANN at the time that is kind of similar to the concerns they have, and how they can participate in various PDPs and working groups to address these issues. Well, I think one of the reasons that we might see lack of participation or lack of like increase of participation in various groups from the not-for-profit or non-commercials in general is that they don't know that their issues are being actually discussed in some working groups. So I would like to kind of bridge this gap and give them information and say, okay, so these are the issues that are being discussed at the moment. But it will not stop there. We can also bring their issues to ICANN, and we can tell ICANN what sort of issues they have and that it should be, and these issues should be addressed. What we should consider is that at ICANN we are doing domain name policy. And we are part of the GNS, so we are doing domain name policy. So the concerns that they have, the issues that the not-for-profit organization that they have with regards to the domain name policy should be expressed at ICANN, and I will help with finding the various working groups that these issues are being discussed, and I will, with the help of the executive committee, help them to get engaged with these processes. And if they have issues that are not being discussed, I think we should find way to discuss them. And I have experience in raising issues at ICANN that were not being discussed, but now they are being addressed because we build alliances, we go and tell people that we have this domain name policy problem that not-for-profit organizations are facing, and then we can actually build a platform to raise our issues at ICANN.
Thank you, Farzi. Dave, what's your plans in improving not-for-profit organization participation and engagement?
I think this is a really difficult, it's actually a more difficult issue than it appears. I think Bazi has done a very good job of articulating the position that we're taking at the moment, is essentially to go, well, your issues are happening at ICANN, you can have an important voice in this issue. All you need to do is just really commit to, here's the working group you should join. All you need to do is really commit to doing a lot of effort to make yourself part of this group. And I think it's a very difficult. We offer, at the moment, we offer not-for-profits. We offer them basically a opportunity to get involved in discussion around their issues, which is great for some of them. But it's a very all or nothing thing. We say, here's a working group you can get involved in. we need to really work on that bridge between you are or you are not involved. We need to really not mentor not just individuals but groups and say, your organization, here are your issues, be part of this sort of, we need to set up groups to make it easier for people to get involved in those issues, to help not-for-profits really understand the ways in which we're articulating their specific issues in which they can be involved. We also need to not just say, here's an opportunity to have your say. We also need to be saying, here is a resource of, that you can draw on. Here is a well-established network. Here are many, many subject matter experts. We need, you know, ICANN is not just a, we need to not just be spending all our time saying, here is what you can do for ICANN. We really say, here is what ICANN and NCSG can do for you as well. But it's, we need to be articulating more the benefits of being part of the NCSG network and how there are, you know, not just opportunities to come to ICANN and be involved in ICANN debates, but that there's also a huge network and a huge resource of policy expertise and skill, and that you can be part of that and really not just sort of recruit people for working groups, but also make them understand that that is being part of this really valuable, strong network and that there are benefits for them as well. I think this is a thing where we really need to work together. The two constituencies have different complementary valuable things to add that we are not very good at presenting in a complementary way. And some coordination and broad discussion sort of facilitated through NCSG would be between the different constituencies would really go a long way. So I really think there are some really valuable coordination with constituencies we haven't been doing and understanding the value of the NCSG network that we haven't really been articulating well. Thanks. That's it for now. Hello?
I think
I can hear you.
Hi, Martin. I think Taplin is disconnected. I take this opportunity to discuss the question.
Sorry, it seems my audio got lost for a moment. Anyway,
okay.
I was... So, getting back, so I wanted to now point at this follow-up question here, that how you will work with NPOC to implement these strategies, just to, if you want to add up on that stuff. Dave, you want to elaborate on, follow up on the, what you said about specifically how to work with NPOC?
I think I already articulated my answer to that a bit. I think NPOC is very good at, in their outreach work, recognizing the recognizing how we can articulate the value of it, you know, of being part of the NCSG network or, to organizations that do not have a really strong already committed policy interest on specific current issues, and sort of say this is what is going on, and you can be part of this network, and you can, you know, tap into a lot of knowledge and contacts, and then still be when an issue that you do have specific expertise and so on comes up, you can be part of that. I think we really do need to present when we do outreach work, we need to present a lot, make a good job of selling the value of being part of the NCSU network. And I think that actually traditionally has been a bit of an NPOC strength. I particularly thought their session in Hyderabad where they talked about the NPOC session where they talked about a lot of the sort of security and so on issues that are often discussed within the ICANN community, present that to a range was a really great idea. And I think in that sense of presenting sort of valuable practical information to not-for-profits as part of what we do at NCSG is an NPOC strength that I really would like to build on. Thanks.
Okay. Sure. President A, you want to comment on how to work specifically with NPOC?
Yes, sure. So as the NCSG, if I get elected as the NCSG chair, I will respect the independence of both constituencies, and they can go about their strategy the way they want to implement it. And I will, so NCSG is kind of overarching, and as Dave said, it's a network. So it will be the strategies that will be implemented at the SG level comes from the constituencies and the NCSG members. So while I'm happy to work with MPOC to improve upon their strategies and to also contribute to NCSG strategy and its implementation and see if the NCSG is going somewhere wrong, then they can just correct it and give feedback. But I think that respecting the independence of MPOC in how they want to implement the strategies are important, but as the overarching NCSG strategies for the issues that concern not-for-profit organizations, of course, MPOC has equal say in how to implement these strategies and also contributing to the strategies as a whole. And I am a member of NCUC and the chair of NCUC, but at the moment, but it's by no means it means that I'm going to be biased or be in favor of NCUC in one way or another. I'm going to treat the NCSG as NCSG and also equally treat both constituencies, and also I'd like to if MPOC wants to get advice on for their operating procedure, for their outreach strategies, or anything that we can help with at the NCSG level, I will be more than happy to work with the executive committee at NCSG to help them with that. And of course, by, as I said, by maintaining their independence. So I will not go and say, oh, you should do this and that. But if they ask for advice or for like ways to do things better or improve upon things, of course, I'm happy to help. There's one more thing that I would like to talk about. MPOC, it's the nominating committee representative. I think we are at the SG level. We are here to advance the non-commercial interest, and I think that it is absolutely unfair that that NPOC does not have a representative on NOMCOM, on the nominating committee. So so I will help if NPOC wants at the SG level to have a representative of theirs at NOMCOM, and when I try to always deliver what I promise. So this is what I can offer, and we'll be happy to work with NPOC and CUC.
President, at this point, a little point of order that please do not type directly to the whiteboard. If you have questions, put them in the chat, and Mariam will put them to the whiteboard. Looking at the chat, I'm noting some interesting comments from Milton that I need, actually very important, I want to raise them, but I like regarding NPOC, that he's asking if it's NPOC's responsibility to improve organization participation. I think the key point here is that what the chair should and should not do, and like what that is the chair supposed to be a superhero who takes responsibility for everything? And I know that some people seem to assume exactly that. So maybe I'll put in this question. What, as the chair, you would not do? Well, how would you phrase that? What are the tasks that you, the chair is not responsible for that you have, that you expect that will be landed on your lap anyway? So try to limit the tasks. What you would not do or what you would do as a chair, and specifically what you would not do, what is not the responsibility of a chair that seems to be expected of you? President, would you like to have a go at that?
I am a very positivist person, Tapani. I don't know, I'm not good at saying I will not do this and that. But okay, I will have a go. As I said, I will not get involved with internal efforts of the constituencies. They are independent constituencies. I will not provide oversight for them and say, oh, you should be doing this and that. So that's one thing that I will definitely not do. I also, that's like the one primary thing that I will not do. And I will look at NCSG as a stakeholder group as a whole and not treat it as like groups in silos, so that I will not do either. And yeah, that's about the thing.
Dave, how about you? What is not not belong to the chair of NCSG that you should not do as that in that role?
I think the most important one. So the, I think it is okay for the. Chair to certainly is not part of the chair role as far as is not part of either constituency and is not the chair's role to interfere, though occasionally to prod them about things that might need to be done. But the most important thing really is that the chair role is administrative and it's leadership, but it's not to, the chair is not supposed to be developing or in charge of the policy positions of either constituency or the SG as a whole. The chair should be letting policy committee do its job and doing what they can to make their job easier, but not to determine what they do or the outcome. Right. So I think the most important thing really is to distinguish the chair role. Is to facilitate and strengthen the policy work of the constituencies and the SG. It's all important to remember there are not just the two constituencies, but there are people who are in NCSG but not either constituency. To facilitate the policy work, but not to try and influence or determine the outcome as chair. Of course, I expect. That there is, just because your chair doesn't mean you can't participate in policy work as an individual, but you should not be trying to direct or, use the chair role in any way to push particular policy positions, but just to make it easier to do it.
Okay, thank you. It sounds to me like you are both are trying to do much more than you will be able to do, but good luck with that. Okay, looking at questions we have, there has been a lot. Okay, actually, I think I'll jump the order a little because these kind of relate to each other. There's a question about the youth participation, which is a follow-up to the earlier one on how to get newcomers in. So what would LAGGAR planning to do to get youth engagement other than Next Gen or fellowship? Any ideas? Dave, want to go first?
Thank you.
So the youth fellowship, I mean, so really I see that the youth fellowship is just one part of the whole problem of how do we bring outside people who are not experienced in the policy process and involve them. I very much appreciate that there's an enormous resource we have to draw on. I also see that it is a little bit hit and miss the way we handle it right now. We've got some very successful people who've come in for Next Gen and so on, but I think that it really is, a lot of it is simply identifying, making it really clear to people what roles they can usefully fill, and mentoring and buddy system and all these other things to help people get through their first ICANN meeting or two without being hopelessly confused. But it's that transition from, you know, someone who knows what ICANN is and what it does to someone who's an effective policy participant and, well, or a participant at all in NCSG and the constituency processes that we really need. I think we are falling down on, you know, people are coming in and people are not staying actively involved and sticking around and eventually becoming full active policy or organizational kind of participant that we need to work on. Certainly, you know, there are the ways you approach it for youth is a little different. Emphasize different activities from those who may have an extended policy background in a different area. But still, I think the basic issue of how do we manage that transition from ICANN participant to really active ICANN participant is the most difficult issue for us as a constituency. And do we want to focus particularly on youth? Well, a little bit, but not overly. Thanks.
Dave, Farzi, if you have anything about youth in particular.
Yeah, for the young people, I think by youth you mean young people to get involved. So I look at it from several aspects. One is that, okay, so are there some domain name policy issues that specifically are affecting young people that is not affecting the larger crowd? Of course, if it's like for non-commercial interest, there should be a platform for them to come and express it, and we are open, and we should be open to their ideas. If it's they should not feel, as Dave said, sometimes because of lack of experience, they might be a little bit timid to express something. Sometimes the newcomers come to me and say, I'm not really sure about presenting this piece. I'm not very well versed. So what we should do for young people is to kind of mentor them, to give them the confidence, and also provide and also tell them that NCSG
and ICANN are really good forums for practicing your skills in advocacy. And if you say something wrong or if you say something that might not be accurate, of course, it's not the end of the world. It's just a domain name policy. It's not a matter of death and life. So, life and death. So, I think there are two issues. One is that if there are like specific young people issue that's happening, we should of course allow a venue or a platform for them to come and express it and be willing to be open and address their issue. If it's about young people engagement with the process, we should provide them with capacity building programs and making it clear for them that it is actually really good to get involved with policy at ICANN and they can make mistakes.
Okay, thank you, Ferdinand. And I'd like to repeat that please try not to mess up the whiteboard because some of the questions are getting confused and I'm not sure how in order either. Let's see, that there's a question about how do you guys think we can get the GAC to work and closely support the GNSO? I think there is a the messed up text is something that since we know that they can't open up. I'm sorry, I'm not sure about it. Anyway, what do you think? How do we get the GAC to work and more closely support the GNSO? Okay, Fazine, you go first this time.
Okay, this is a very interesting question, and I thank anyone who asked that because this has been on my mind. Our for the GNSO, I'd like to talk from GAC liaison with NCSG more because I think, we are running for the NCSG chair position. So, first of all, we need to clarify to GAC who we are, what we are doing, and that we are a solid stakeholder group. And I think a lot of the times when I talk to GAC members, they don't know who we are. They don't know, they say so. How are you different from ALAC? And so we should clarify this. And I am planning after we have to get the program approved for NCUC, but for Abu Dhabi, I was thinking to have like a 20-minute introduction to NCUC in Abu Dhabi. So I think similarly at NCSG, we need to have even a liaison or someone who actually monitors GAC deliberations and meetings and especially their communiques. And we need to establish a contact with them. Also, I think we know that a lot of we are critical of a lot of things that the GAC does. And we have to follow up on what they do. We have to maintain a good contact with them and build alliance or criticize their work when appropriate. So I think that for NCSG, we might come up with, I don't know if this is possible, but come up with a volunteer that actually monitors and has a good established contact with GAC in general. Thanks.
Dave, what's your feelings about GAC?
Look, I'd just like to say, look, I have a really good, I think I've got a very good understanding of the issues involved in this question. Especially when I was vice chair of the GNSO, I served for a couple of years as part of the GNSO GAC sort of discussion with many of these issues. But ultimately, this is really not a part of the function of the GNSO chair. This is something our councillors should definitely be looking at. This is something our PC should be looking at. The only thing is, where it really comes into the chair function is naturally the chair as part of the SOAC sort of leadership. We'll probably end up being involved in some discussion of these issues. And when it does, we're really going to have to say, look, we're part of the GNSO.
you should take this issue to council and our councillors, and maybe our PC, but there's been a lot of work done on how the GIN, how the GAC should deal with the GIN. So all we really need to do as chair is robustly defend the role of the GNSO and support the other SGs in that function, and leave it to our councillors to really do the work on this. Thanks.
Thank you, and I'll have to comment here that you should indeed in every time think whether these questions are relevant to the chair function at all, which Milton has been pointing out in the chat any number of times. So I'll pick the next question, and if you think this is something that chair should not be doing, but all times feel free to say so, then move on. Anyway, the next question is that there has been lots of discussions about the presence of GNSO, for example, in comparison to ALAC. How, and seriously, how can we move out participation on top four board? I won't try to interpret that for you. Okay, Dave, go first on this one.
Okay. Again, in the chair be doing absolutely everything, but I think the chair does deal with things like the agenda and discussion, and when we do that, make it really clear that we are focused and highlighted on the fully engaged with the GNSO policy development processes. Make sure it's very, very clear that that is our focus. That if you want to get involved in GTLD policy work, that you do it within the GNSO is the primary that way. That if you do that within NCSG, you will get support, you will be part of a group that is very focused on that, and then ALAC has a bunch of other functions that deal with other things, and if you should work out whether you emphasis GNSO or ALAC based on which of those functions you want to do. There's really as long as we're highlighting our policy role and what we do and the value of doing that, then within the SO and AC sort of council, make sure that we are very clear on along with the other SG chairs in being clear about the role of the GNSO. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. President A, your take on this?
I think at Tapani we've talked a lot about how to improve participation, and I hope that satisfies this question. Just not to let the question go unanswered, I just think what we need to do is to better build NCSG with the help of councillors and policy committee. And as I said, I have like two old plans for this. One is the policy operation, one is the policy strategy, the other is the operation strategy, which I think would be helpful for competing with other groups. And also, we are not in competition. Our participation is at policy development groups are actually more meaningful than ALAC. But as I said, I have many plans that if they get approved by the executive committee of NCSG, we can move forward and build NCSG. I see that Milton asked whether we understand clearly the actual charter responsibility. Can I take the time to answer this question, or Tapani, shall we go to the other question?
Okay, go ahead and answer that.
So for me, from looking at the charter, Milton, I see three functions. One is outreach with
So the chair works with the executive committee of NCSG to carry out these responsibilities. One is outreach and recruiting. The other one is membership management. So these are the internal governance and also like maintaining like coordinating between NCSG executive committee members and also appointments of to various positions. So this is what I think are basically. Yes, of course. I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed one. I missed my elections. Yes, oversight of elections and these administrative things. But of course, outreach is one of them. And the other thing is that, for example, sometimes when the GNSO councillor resigned, there are like important decisions for appointments of councillors that the chair has to facilitate, and other things like liaison, appointing liaison, and other things. So I hope I didn't miss out anything. But yeah, let's go to the next question, Tapping.
At this point, I want to give Dave a chance if you want to comment specifically on this, what the chair is actually mandated to do under the charter. Dave?
So the charter is, yep, thank you. The charter is pretty clear that, you know, the role of the chair, you know, is oversight and executive function of the EC. And then the charter is also clear on what the responsibilities of the EC, which are primarily membership, and outreach, and all the, but it's notable that the chair is also, an ex officio member of finance committee, and so has to be involved in that. We're still understanding the role of finance committee because it's sort of inactive for a long time, and we're starting to realize that under the, part of the empowered community, there may well be a function for that, which we're still trying to, articulate. It's also, I think, important to note there are functions of the NCSG chair that aren't really there in the charter, which is increasingly within the sort of empowered community. And so on, the role of the SO and AC chairs, even just as a coordination function rather than as executive, does matter, I think, even though it's not explicitly in the NCSG charter. But it's very important to understand, for the most part, the NCSG chair is there mostly to represent the EC, that the chair literally should not be doing anything that isn't fully supported by the EC. You'll hear a lot of things we'd like to get done and we think should get done. Those things will only get done if the EC supports and wants those things to be done. It's important to understand that the EC, the NCSG chair, is the executive function, the oversight of the EC, and not not empowered to go off and be doing any function that the EC does not fully support. Thanks.
Dave, looking at the questions, I want to pick the more specific questions later. I'm skipping number 8, which is a generic one, and leave it as last. But number 9 in the whiteboard calls about transparency cannot be imposed. It is normally practiced with the participation of all stakeholders. Recently, we experienced some question marks and transparency over executive decisions in the list. Would you like to know from David and Fraser regarding the plan to uphold transparency during their period of NCST chair? Fraser, would you like to open this one up?
Oh. Yes, sure. So, yes, thank you for this question. I have multiple times said that transparency is very important for me, and my motto for the election of NCUC was that I will bring more transparency to NCUC. And well, you can challenge me on this, but I believe that I brought more transparency with the help of the executive committee by announcing all the opportunities, by providing informational materials, by
periodically telling you what we are doing at the leadership, and at NCUC. And I plan to do this for NCSG as well. I think people should not think of the NCSG leadership as a black box of things that get decided without knowing how they got decided. And sometimes they don't even know what issues were decided on, like what decisions were made. So I think transparency is not only in the process, but it's also about giving you information and accessible information so that if something happens, you can challenge us over it. So I think that is the aim of transparency. And if you have like this public mailing list that is not even like visible to you, that is transparent, but what can you do with it when you don't have the information, you don't even know where to go to find it? So I think transparency is about information and providing you with what we are doing, what your leaders, your officers, the ones that you've elected are doing. So I for NCC, the issue that was raised was about the nominating committee appointment that we decided to with the executive committee to just make it confidential. Of course, the process was totally transparent. Just the deliberation of the executive committee members were done in private just to maintain the confidentiality and privacy of the applicants. This is practiced in various groups. In nominating committee itself, we cannot talk about the credential of people on an open mailing list and criticize them. So this was raised, and I still am of the opinion that in some circumstances, deliberations of the decision making body can be held private. But the thing that should be transparent is how we came up with that decision, what were the reasons that applicant was chosen over the other one, and also provide enough information for the applicants that were rejected and the reasons behind the rejection so that for the next time they can do better. So for NCSG, it will be transparency with regards to disseminating information, decision-making, and it will be consultative when deliberation has to take place in private. It will be done in consultation with the members and in accordance with the charter of the NCSG, if I get elected. Thank you.
Thank you, Fazi. I'd actually like to clarify a point here. Whenever it is felt necessary to have a confidential discussion like that, do you think it would not be a good idea to record those conversations for review by the ombudsman in case of a contention of the
Yes, but that, of course, that yes, and if you look at the operating procedures of the NCUC, it says that these deliberations should be out there, and in case there should be like a complaint or challenge, they should be made available to ombudsman. So our emails, our private email exchange at the executive committee is there. If the applicants want to challenge it, of course we will provide records. And the importance of being confidential in this selection process is because of the applicants. Their privacy should be safeguarded. And also, it will affect the executive committee members so that they will not be inhibited from, it won't inhibit their decision and pronouncing the reason and rationale for it. So I think in this situation, confidentiality actually brings more merit to the decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Dave, what's your take on this?
Okay, I'll try to answer this a bit more briefly, particularly because I think to a large extent, Fasnet and I are very much in agreement on this, which is that we absolutely should let people know what decisions we are planning to make before we make them, particularly appointments, that we should be open about process for appointments, that we should not necessarily be open about deliberations that involve specific candidates in order that we can speak freely about their merits without avoiding invading, essentially damaging their privacy and so on. But we absolutely should be open not just about what decisions we have made, but the process we use to reach where we do. Certainly, of course, the EC mailing list should remain open and other official mailing lists. And there should just will be occasional times where we may need to change that. But in practice for NCSG positions, I think that is really going to be very few. The NCSG itself does not, EC and so on, does not spend, you have a lot of, does not a lot of have decisions of appointments that it should be making as a body. For the most part, it should be coordinating the constituencies and, a lot of the discussions we had about the NCUC that Fasnet referenced, I think, should not really be anywhere near as much of an issue for the NCSG. It's just very committed to transparency as a value, and it can be summed up as being clear about the decisions we're going to make, the process we're going to make them, then what we did make, and what process we to get there. That's it, pretty much. I do think transparency isn't, of course, the same thing necessarily as openness, though they are related, and I would strive very much for the EC, which can often be somewhat, feel a bit opaque to a lot of the members, to be more open about their processes. The ones that really matter for, I think, the EC is about membership, which is, of course, a vital process. We need to be very clear and open and transparent about the processes we use for that. And I would also like to say, I think the having discussions about the elections, the way we went about it this time, we're having a mailing list that was publicly archived and anyone could be part of to discuss some of those issues was a fairly good process and an example of a sort of process we should be following when we can. Thanks.
Today, I'd like to ask you the same question I asked for Basine specifically, that if you have confidential discussions on private emails or whatever, should they still be maintained and, if necessary, given to an ombudsman or someone to review in case this person is challenged?
Frankly, I think the best thing to do, the best way to answer that question would be to ask the ombudsman for their advice and position and stick by that.
Okay, now, given the time we have, as I said in the beginning, we need to have a little time for councillor candidates because some of them will not be able to join on Monday, so let's move on to that. Unless, although maybe I'll give the chair candidates time to give a final statement here before what's your final last comment. Either you can pick up the final question 8 here, what are the important challenges, or just what you want to say at the end. Fasnet, you have your hand up, so I'll hand it to you first.
Thank you very much, Tapani. And I think Rafik asked a very important question, which I would really, because this is a part of my strategy for the NCSG, if I get elected, to help the policy committee to get volunteers to work on public comments. The policy committee is overloaded with work. they should not be even be like the policy chair should not be even all the time responsible for reaching out to members. I think as the executive committee and the chair of NCSG, I will make sure that people will be involved and can help the policy committee to reach decisions, issue public comments, and be actively involved. And I think our policy committee at the moment is because of Rafiq as the chair, is doing great, is doing a great job, and I think we will build on that. And as I said, with the with the like communication, better communication with the member of what policy committee does, we can help them. So that's one thing. The other thing is that for the NCSG chair, I will bring you commitment, transparency, accountability, and capacity building. Thank you.
And then the last word to Dave. Answer Rafiq's question, and then if you have a summary, whatever, go ahead.
Okay. I think it's a good question, but I think it kind of comes back to this question of what are the actual what is the role and responsibility of the chair? And to an extent, I think this is one where we do need to be quite wary about the. The chair is primarily concerned with the executive functions. The chair is specifically sort of discouraged from being chair of the PC or otherwise too involved. And I think to an extent, while of course the and the PC is largely appointed from the constituencies, right? And I don't think the NCSG chair should be interfering too much in who the constituencies appoint. So really the role of the NCSG chair in supporting the PC is a little bit limited. But I do think there is one issue which is really crucial, which is that the NCSG chair has the is on the finance committee and does tend to be a major point of contact and liaison with staff and budget and so on. So I think if we talk too much about what the NCSG chair can do for the policy committee, we are pushing a little bit beyond the role of the NCSG. Yeah, right. But in terms of being representing the NCSG, being out there strongly looking for extra for resources, for staff support, for budgetary support, for policy committee functions, in that sense, that is where I think the role of the NCSG chair in supporting policy committee is really important and vital. So, yeah, that's pretty much my answer. I think the NCSG chair in going too strong to support policy committee could be, we should not supplant in any way the role of the constituencies or the councillors and so on who are very involved in the policy process. But I do think that in terms of being the advocate that goes out and talks to the organization and looks at, well, how can we improve this process? What resources can we get? The organization or anyone else, any other sources of support, that is where I think the chair has a really crucial role, right, to represent the organization in that manner. So that's my answer. It may not be the sort of most enthusiastic sort of cheerleader for the PC, but I think there really is a bit of a separation of responsibilities role here that's really important. And in conclusion, as this is the last question, I really think my strengths for the chair role are not that I'm, planning to be... to try and do everything myself. I really I think I have a strong record of being collaborative, with being able to work effectively with a really wide range of people, and being able to negotiate sort of how to deal.
We lost you, I think. I'm not hearing anything.
Appropriate. Sorry, what?
Lost.
Did I just talk for minutes without my... Yeah. Okay, yes, you did. Sorry. Anyway, so in conclusion, as I said, I think my strengths, understanding of the role, procedures, and how... works. I think I'm proven to be very good at being collaborative, working with a really wide range of people, working appropriately within the complex organization that is ICANN. And I do think that the NCSG charities really, we need to be very careful to work together as constituencies, work together within the GNSO. I don't think there's a limit the amount that the chair can and should be driving with the, anything that doesn't have the full backing of the EC. And that's really why I feel that I'm a good choice for the role. So I thank people for some very thoughtful questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Now, let's move on to the councillors. I note that we will be continuing this discussion on Monday with those who can be present then. So, for the councillors as well, I may ask the first question, which is the same as I before. Why do you want a job? And let's see, that I think... Michael Kiranikolas will not be on with us on Monday, I believe, so maybe you could like to speak first on this issue. Michael? Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. Just shifting off of a spirited back and forth on the chat to talk about this. I think that one of my main motivation for this is to try to enhance community engagement and accessibility of the discussion. I sort of touched on this with my candidate statement, where one of the main things that I've wanted to do since I've been involved with ICANN is to try to open it up and to try to make it easier and clearer for people who want to engage with the system. I think that the acronyms, I think that the procedures, and I think that in a lot of ways, the complexity of the discussions can make it very difficult for people who are not well-versed in the system and for people who are not able to, you know, constantly follow along with every discussion to properly engage and to make their voices heard and to contribute. So the main thing that I'd like to do is to increase openness, increase lines of communication, and to enhance communication between decision-making bodies and the communities in order to improve these relations and in order to strengthen the sort of bottom-up decision-making process that ICANN is supposed to stand for by opening things up more and by basically just improving lines of communication in both directions so that it's easier to find information about what's being discussed. It's easier to jump into processes that you might not have been involved in from the beginning and catch up and find out where they are now and how you can contribute, as well as to improve communication the other way so that it's easier for those inputs and ideas to trickle upwards, if you want to think about it that way, into the decision-making structures. So essentially, I'm hoping to boost openness, to boost transparency, and to enhance the accessibility of the communications and the deliberative processes.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Let's see, we have Arzene Zintungali. Are you on the phone, Rich? you want to speak? No, maybe we don't. Tarzan did say that he'd had trouble on Friday. Tatiana?
Hi, Tatiana. Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tarzan. Please go ahead. So why do you want the job?
Yeah, it's Aften. That's the easy way to call my name. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was actually not expecting to be able to join this call today. I was mainly getting ready for Monday. But I have like a few minutes just I'll be able to answer probably a few questions. And if I'm not able to answer all of them due to limited time, I'll make sure I have more time next week for the Monday call. So I'm actually willing to consider this job, and I'm thankful for the people for their public support and their words of encouragement. There are so many things that I'll try. One of the things is I want to be a counselor. We'll be close to the people, and we'll be trying to make sure I'm open as possible to members, because sometimes we feel, as members, we feel that our counselors are special people, and they are the people that are always busy and who cannot be approached by any member. That has led to a kind of separation between members and their counselors, because our members like sometimes fear to approach them and to express their concerns. So I want to be a counselor that will be close to the people and make sure all our members understand what we are actually doing and be able to approach us whenever there is any issue. And also, as I said in my statement I've posted, I have so many things to learn, but I can assure our NCST members that I'll be striving in sharing the outcomes in discussing with them at physical meetings as well as online on any decisions that we are trying to take. And I'll try to work with other counselors in making sure we are close to the people and we are able to relate to any issues that we are trying to discuss. I also believe that I want this job because I need to bring like new blood and new blood, like a fresh person who hasn't been close to the counselor, but who may be able probably to bring in some new depth and some new voice into the platform. I'm very young and so I'm ready to learn. I'm able to commit the time, the energy, and I have the passion. And whenever I'm called to perform any specific task, I'm always up to the task, and I'm really willing to be able to support the work the council is doing in bringing the voices and amplifying the voices of non-commercial users in every discussion that we'll be doing.
Okay, thank you, Arzen. Let's hand next one to Tatiana. Tatiana, what do you want to say?
Hello. I'm sure that saying that I want to be more involved in the policy processes will not be a good answer, because we all know that anyone could get involved into PDP, into policy, without being a councillor. Look at our other members like Cassie, like Aidan, who is now standing for council. They are extremely involved without having this voting power. So I really thought, before accepting the nomination, I really thought, why do I want this job? I think that, first of all, I'm extremely interested in policy processes, and I can offer my skill, my voice, my time to really contribute. I have the time and I have the willingness. I see the areas where things can be improved for our stakeholder group, and these areas were named already. Like, for example, channel of communications with members, like informing the members, like more capacity building, counselors being the centers of particular topics, counselors being involved into informing members and providing reports and getting members involved into the policy. I want this job because I think that after all my involvement at ICANN, I really want to be the part of this, the thick of it, of the policy making. And I know that I can be good there from within. I know that I can help NCSG to achieve its goals on GNSO. And I have to say that in my career, I had lots of expertise in policy making and in capacity building outside of ICANN. And inside of ICANN in the last 2 years. And I think that GNSO Council is the point where my expertise and the needs of our stakeholder group will just meet together at one point. Because I can be vocal, I can be present, I always keep myself to my promises, I'm always participating, and if I'm participating, I'm always vocal and I'm really present and not just attending. And the last reason why I want this job is just because I'm a volunteer. I'm spending my free time on this. I'm not paid for this like many, many of us. And I think that I want this job because I want us non-commercial users to have a stronger voice in the policy making. Not just the weight, you know, in terms of how many councillors or voting people we have, how many seats we have in the council, but also how we advocate for our positions, how we behave in the council, and how we actually cooperate with other stakeholder groups. I think that this is another important point. I think during my involvement at ICANN, I already proved that I can perfectly cooperate and perfectly listen, but at the same time stand at my point and advocate for this. And this is why I want this job, because I really want us to be present and to be vocal there. Thank you.
Yes, Tatiana. Then Martin, why do you want to be a job?
Thank you, Tavani. Hi, all. I've joined ICANN many years ago, looking forward to work on civil society issues. I understood the importance of internet in people's lives, and from that basic concept, when I understood what the DNS was, what ICANN was doing, how it worked, and what my role in it be, I just started working with different subjects inside the DNS system with a deep commitment that I was doing work that was beneficial to basic civil society rights. I'm a lawyer, so I come from that part. I've taken different leadership positions inside ICANN. This is not my first attempt at a leadership position. And I've never looked after the leadership position for what it means itself. I always looked at it as a tool, as a platform, as a way of better take care of the task ahead. And I say this because I look at my role, I look at the leadership position I take as part of a big system, a part of a big, I won't use the word fight because it's unnecessarily aggressive, but I do look at it as a part of a big engine that moves towards of what we think is defending civil rights and human rights. So I want to be part of this engine. I want to play a role inside this. I invest, as Tatiana said, I also am not paid. I invest a lot of my time, which equally is that I invest money on it. And I do it out of conviction, because I like it, because I believe in it. So I take this role because I want to be part of this process. I know that I can be helpful. I want to offer my time, my good faith, my network, my knowledge. So that's my motivation. Is not to take up just a position of power, which this is, because I think this is a role I can have this is a meaningful role I can have and I want to have in a bigger engine that puts forward the human rights agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Martin. I would like to actually follow this up, since you all pointed the note that the counselor's job is to work on policy. What you see as the most important policy issues that are coming up soon that you would want to concentrate on, what you think are the most important things from non-commercial perspective, most difficult coming up next? Michael, would you like to go first again, because you won't be here Monday? Michael? Did we lose you? Okay. I'll give it to Martin because you have your hand up. Martin, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I think it would be, this is a self-frustrating question to answer because everyone is going to have a different opinion on it. So I know it's already wrong as it comes out of my mouth. And of course, it's also tainted by my own perception and my own taste on what I like and what I see important in ICANN. But trying to not to put my own feelings in it, I think one of the priorities would be to work with this new empowered community, this post-transition IANA model that will really test us, will really shape the future ICANN in the next 5 years. So I would say that's one of our priorities, even if it's still growing in our agenda. It's relatively small for, I think, the importance it has. Regarding more policy-related issues with directly DNS, OGDL in this case, I definitely see these three big main frameworks that are constantly being attacked by different angles, whether it is the right protection mechanism working group, whether it is the RDS or the new GTLD programs. All of them are going to be addressed by different angles, from human rights perspective, internal governance perspective, trademark perspective, states or sovereignty perspective. But I think regardless of whether you say maybe they access the importance of this sovereignty is over perspective, I think these are the topics that are going to be, you know, canalizing these issues.
Thank you, Martin. Now, Michael, is your mic working? Can you speak up? Your policy issues, your vote.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes,
sorry about
that.
For me, the biggest cross-cutting issue is transparency, in the sense of it fosters community engagement, and I feel that there's that's something that touches everything, is the ability to access information about the deliberations and to give the community a proper understanding of what's going on. I mean, that's fundamental to everything that the GNSO does, so that's kind of my kind of cross-cutting issue that touches a bunch of different things. But in terms of the specific discussion areas, the new debates on privacy and specifically how that impacts who is, I think, are enormously important going forward. I think that obviously ICANN has been late to the game in their recognition of the important data protection role that they play. And so now that this has just started to come up and people are sort of and the organization is kind of finally coming to grips to this, After obviously people within the community have been hammering on this for years, but there seems to be a growing realization now of the different responsibilities that ICANN has, particularly in trying to harmonize their work with the new European regulations on the subject. So I think that's going to be a major area of discussion is how privacy protections can be properly worked into this. And I also saw I've also been following the constitution of the new cross-community working group on internet governance, which I also think is kind of interesting because that's potentially, you know, an enormous mandate. So I'm very interested to see how that's going to pan out in terms of, you know, what that group's going to do and what directions or focus is going to be on, because it could be very big or it could be very small. That's another thing that I've been following.
Thank you, Michael. Now, we are pretty much running out of time. We will continue with this on Monday with a most hopefully, well, Michael won't be there, I understand, but others will, and Aidan will be there as well. But I will give a very brief comment to Tatiana and Ozena if you want to have something to say, but keep it brief. You will have the chance to continue on Monday. Tatiana?
Yeah, thank you very much, Tapani. I would just be brief. So for me, there are several things, and I might be repeating Michael a bit. The first is what actually GNSO is working on and what are the issues in front of GNSO, and this is policy. I'm not talking about accountability. And so for me, the priorities would be, of course, the use of country names, the two letters codes, the right protection mechanisms, and, of course, anything related to privacy and who is. This is the first point. This is the GNSO itself. Accountability, well, the process is related to human rights, jurisdictions, and accountability of advisory committees and stakeholder groups. These are my priorities, like human rights jurisdiction, I mean, and the third one. And I would like to bring up again the CCWGIG group, the group on the internet governance, because I was active there. And I see that now we have a motion in front of GNSO because GNSO wants to withdraw as a chartering organization from the CCWGIG. And I believe that we have to fight to solve this somehow in one way or another, because ICANN is not operating in vacuum. And I don't believe that really being informed about IG issues will anyhow extend the ICANN's mandate. And I think that leaving it out of the community and just leaving it on the level of the board to keep up with the IG issues, I don't think that this will do us any good, because there are so many processes which actually can endanger the limited mandate of ICANN, and we have to understand this. So these are my three priorities: policy in GNSO, accountability process, and what is going on in the internet governance. Thank you very much.
Tatiana, and last word in this call, Azine, you want to comment on your policy priorities?
Yes.
Very brief, you can continue on Monday.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Tapani. I actually look forward to the Monday call, because I just thought of another meeting, so I'll probably be able to answer most of the questions on Monday. But there are so many issues that the GNSS is working on currently, and so many of them are actually interesting in the different PDPs that are working. One of those issues like on geographic names, on the new GTLD, trademark clearing, access to creative rights, and so many others. So I actually plan to be involved in some of those PDP working groups and be able to be vocal on some of those issues, and overall make sure the voice of non-commercial users are being heard. Local people who are using the GNSS system need to be able to have their voice be heard. And if they are non-commercial, then as representatives of the NCC, will be able to convey their message. So I really look forward to the call on Monday to be able to expand on some of these issues. Thank you.
Thank you all. We are a little over time already. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And as noted, we have, due to the different availability of people, we will be continuing on Monday with the councillor candidates, most of whom I think will hopefully be there. So thank you all. Have a good weekend. Let's get back to this on Monday. Thank you all.
Okay, bye-bye.
You can stop the recording.
Thank you very much, everyone. Angelica, you may stop the recording now. Thank you very much for your time. Goodbye.